Welcome to Off the Shelf, Festival of Words, brought to you by the University of Sheffield.
People, I'm Dominic Heslop, the One Devotion, and you're listening to the Youth Word Up 2020 podcast. The Youth Word Up is an off-the-shelf Festival of Words project supported by Hive Young Writers Network. The project was started by poet and activist Benjamin Zephaniah back at the festival in 2012. The aim was to give young people, via different service and community partners, a platform to be heard. This year, taking part in the Youth Word Up, we have young people from the Sheffield Children in Care Council, Chilli Pep, and Sheffield Young Carers. We want to say a big thanks to all these services for supporting us to reach young people. Normally, we'd be in the real world with an event and publication, but this year, not even a pandemic can stop us. We're here online, just for you. I've had the pleasure of working with some of these incredible young people myself recently, and I can tell you, you're in for a treat. So kick back, relax, enjoy the words, imaginations, hopes, and dreams of these amazing young people.
Children in Care Council Manifesto. If we could be the people who decide,
be it president, civil servant, or millionaire,
we would make wars illegal and have prank wars instead.
Worldwide prank wars, WPWs,
on the internet. We'd redistribute food and water
from brightly coloured balloons,
so those in need will get the most, and build schools and libraries and shops where everything is free to everyone.
Every life would be equal.
Only shady politicians would be second-class citizens.
We'd replace Johnson with Obama and Trump with a trumpet.
A much better use of hot air, don't you think?
Our prayers would say, we are all human,
and that everyone is allowed an opinion without judgment, including ants, dogs with short legs,
and babies who are teething. We'd get rid of the world of money and use cheese instead.
£10 would be a nice slice of cheddar. A £20 would be a feta. A £50, definitely a Red Leicester.
Coffee would be free and flow from taps in kitchens,
because most of the world can't function without it.
There'd be a law against jellyfish.
No further details needed. It would be compulsory not to interact with nearby people at least once a week, because socialising can be horrific.
And we'd blast out the weather by remote control.
Get to turn up the sun whenever we want. Beds with wheels would be transport to school and college, so you could do your makeup and eat your breakfast on the way in the traffic. We would have the House of Commons dropped in a giant glass and dissolved like a big Alka-Seltzer tablet, so we could start again afresh.
And public transport, when we're in need of a hug, would be zip-wise, door to door,
so we could instantly zip over to show people love. We'd abolish all rats, but without using traps, and amatonormativity would be a thing of the past. Romance would be whatever we decide it to be.
We'd teach compassion and kindness instead of maths,
and banish baked beans because they are the worst. We'd put biscuit factories in every town and declare in earnest each day,
Let there be cake. Endless cake.
The kid with the wasp in the jar is asked why. They say wasps are assholes. The kid shakes their head and continues on their way, jar of wasps in their fist. The kid with the wasps in the jar doesn't want them getting out. They hurt people. The wasps aren't trapped. A jar can't hold wasps for long, especially one with a paper lid, easily broken open. Too late. A swarming hum fills the ears of the kid with the jar and everyone near. Around them, a cloud of painful memories forms. the wasps don't care. The kid with the wasps and the empty jar can do nothing but wait until they fly back in. But first, they know they must let them sting.
Dyslexia sits in the back of my head, a distraction that won't shut up. It causes the letters to dance and blur. It's the twat behind me laughing when I stutter. It's the mind block on the spellings I know but can't see. It plays on the slip of my lips. It's the puppeteer who always says, I won't, I can't.
Dear anxiety, please go away. You're always at me wherever I go. I hate the way you're always following me. You make me question when I'm out. Am I on the right bus? Is it suitable for where I'm going? Do I have to speak to anyone? Are people looking at me differently from others? Go on, anxiety. Go annoy nobody else. Because I am a person just like everyone else. I have feelings and flaws just like everyone else. So thank you, anxiety, for making me feel different, making me feel weird. Thank you very much.
Shh, shut up. How are you? I'm lost. Yes, I'd like tea. No, don't hurt me. Shh. Hello, voices. But you speak so quick to keep up. Too quick to keep up. It's the man laughing at me. It's the fly attacking me. He... The paranoia shakes, agitates, fear, wallpapers alive, trees be monsters, the traffic lights watch like eyes, glaring red like fire, blowing out vivid fireworks, don't hurt me.
AA, I have an addiction to chickens, Romania and baking. My brain goes, what the hell, and I end up with 8 brand new pairs of socks, 3 pencil holders, some screws, and a single 20-sided dice. I might not know what 8 times 9 is, but I can tell you when the Berlin Wall fell. November 1991, if you were wondering. I can recite words like incredulous, fundamental, and, oh, hold on a second. I lost my train of thought. Everything is too loud. Unless it's my music playing full blast through my headphones. The texture of pears is so weird. But I will eat a kiwi fruit with the skin on. I want a hug, but don't touch me, or I will melt down, like Chernobyl in 1986. Sorry, was that inappropriate? I missed the cue, and now I don't have a clue. Was that sarcasm? Hell if I know. But welcome anyway to Autism Anonymous. Let us say hello.
Things your teacher should not call your foster carer. Carer, because everyone looks at you. Say their name or say, someone's here to see you. Or say, Mum, please.
One of me is sat on the ceiling, watching another one of me in class, unable to focus. Then there's another one of me, walking the corridor alone, going in a different direction to everyone else, as they all shove past. There's one of me in primary, waiting to go to the park, and my friend doesn't want to go yet. But everything inside of me says, I must do that now, or I get upset. One of me knows a secret about me in year 8 and can't tell anyone because of shame. One of me is 11 years old, getting tripped up, nudged, knocked over. He's getting other boys in his face. Somewhere there's a million younger versions of me, desperate to escape. They are staring out of the window at school, trying to find a future to fit, to not be a tooth in the wrong mouth clench under the pressure of it. The boy in a tutu. These are me who can't cope. These are me who's had enough, and he is coping. These are me who likes watching programs about grand designs and learning about geometry. He's decided to be an architect so he can make his own safe space. He will go on to build it in soft oak wood with warm yellow lights oozing from the floor. He will know how to start a conversation, avoiding the pain of small talk. He has the dream in his hands from his head, and he will craft it how it's meant to be at last. He will have a passport so battered and torn from air miles. He'll need to renew it often just to keep up. He will know what it feels like to be accepted, to fall in and out of love, and to eventually meet the right boy, who maybe also knows about how it feels to wear an invisible tutu. And they will get married.
Box for my little brother, who is adopted, by Fatima. I will put inside the picture from when we were younger, us sitting laughing on the grass outside I Sheffield, me wearing a pink dress and you in your blue tracksuit. I will put in the box a Dairy Milk in shiny purple foil, because I know that's your favourite chocolate. And that little card that says, I miss you so much, with tiny pictures around it of us both when we were babies. I will put in your box my favourite memory of when you fell down the stairs and just got up and laughed, and the lyrics to that song we danced to, Juju on that beat, and it went slide, drop, hit that folk no stop. Your box is made out of my old baby clothes, soft and fluffy and warm. Everything inside will be held in the cup we'd argue over. This box is for you to know. I love you and I will never forget you.
The sky is falling. As one from the seaside and seagulls, holidays in Skegness. Beaches that kind of coronavirus has ended kind of busy. I was born on low wages and then benefits from a mom and a former stepdad. I was born in the middle of nowhere. I thought at the time the world was small. I was born from going through lots, such as questioning my sexuality and going into care. I was born from most days throwing something on and looking a bit weird. I was born with no fashion sense whatsoever. I was born from making dens outside and long summer fun. I was born from the lyrics, the sky is falling.
Turtle. I am a turtle. I may be slow. At least I'm still walking. I'm just going at my own pace. I may hide away in my shell, but there are some things that will bring me out of it. I am a turtle, the colour black, a colour that can fit with anything, a colour that can adapt. I am the rain, a comforting downpour. Without the rain, there is no sun. Without hard times, there is no good. I am the wind, blowing to move on, not to stay. I am confusion, a turtle, a person, still learning and looking for answers, a person who is lost. I am a pair of socks, not always noticeable or seen, but always useful behind the scenes. I am a passenger on a train, taking me to an unknown destination. I'm searching for a dream.
The doll's house that was really a home for little people.
The cat that was a shift in space and time. The TV that was really a portal to the video game world.
The bin that was really a black hole.
To where aliens collect rubbish on the other side.
The toy car that was really a toy boy racer. The door to my clothes that really opened my imagination.
The box that was really a football stadium. The makeup brushes that were really a new innovation.
The phone that was really a tracker of time.
The mirror that was really a new world on the other side. The suitcase that really took you to your dream holiday.
The bed that really transported you to college.
The guitar that was really the soundtrack to another world.
The gramophone that was really my roaring 20s.
The eBay bid that was really a click through to long desired objects. The Lego that was really an endless universe of people, places and man-made dreams. The whiskey barrel that was really an untold story.
The fireplace that was really a secret tunnel into a mysterious world.
The mirror that was really a fashion evaluator.
Full of opinions. The lamp that was really
a spotlight to shine on people. The drawers that were really a sock eating machine. The shelf that was really an obsessive dust collector. The blue tack that was really chewing gum.
The sad face
that was really an upside down smile. The eyelashes that were really a flirting device.
The lipstick that was really a stain.
The social worker that was really a lighthouse.
The candle that was really hope in the darkness.
Nervous. You're that dark corner in my room. No light, just all the worry laid out like next day's clothes. You're that sharp pain like a surgeon's knife, removing the existence I once had. You're the one telling me I'll forget how to cook and die. The one making me doubt my shadow. You're the one who makes me want to go back to primary and start all over again, but I can't let you take over. I'm excited, finally, to be off to uni. I don't want to be thinking, oh no, who's that? Fuck you, nervous. I'm not letting you win.
Sharpener. When I was a pencil sharpener, you would use me every day. You would make me sharpen pencils. I knew your most used colour, the perfect point, and how obsessively you scribbled. After a while, your favourite hues changed. You used darker shades for harsher lines. The pencils that came to me were blunt or snapped, pages black instead of blue and green. Then one day, you picked me up and took me apart. I was a pencil sharpener that became something more. You used to colour the paper blue, but now you draw along your arms in red. Back when I was a pencil sharpener and you were an artist, your fingers moved along my blade. Not the paper, not the pencils, I was once used to sharpen.
Dear judgmental people, take a seat and for once in your life, listen. What makes you think you have the right to assume you know a person inside out by the style of their shoes? Or, oh, she's wearing a skimpy top. No one would want her looking like that. Who cares what she wears? Who the hell cares? It's not about attention. It's not about making other people stare. We as people love to express ourselves, and whether that breaks your preconceived ideas of normal really doesn't matter. He can wear nail polish. She can shave her head. They can both wear a neon green dress to a family dinner. As long as that person is doing it for themselves and feel happy whilst doing it, you shouldn't feel affected. Generation after generation has been forced to look one way or another, and if we continue, we'll never be any different from sheep. So shut up, put on a feather boa, and mind your business.
Hi, my name's Erin Mehmet, and this is my poem called Pain, about the difficulties of having chronic widespread pain at a young age. Pain. Those four letters take less than a second to roll off the tongue, but I know how long it stays, how it can steal a childhood, set up its own rules for the future. It stands in the alleyway of your life, all devilish smile curling up at the corners as it watches its torment take over. The dark hood pulled over its head can't hide the glint of pleasure in its eyes at seeing you crumble. The cancelled plans, missed meetings, the constant isolation, it plays more like chess pieces, knocks them out of the frame, so it gets to win. And just when you think it's eased off, it's back. Lurking in the shadows, it steps forward again, waiting for you to have no choice but to fall back into its arms. Those hands that burn the whole of your body, so badly you don't know how much more you can take. It robs you of your happiness, potential, and normality. Snatches it away like it's nothing. Like you're nothing. It doesn't care that it makes heartbreak look easy. That you envy anyone who doesn't know its face. The joint cracks and muscle spasms, the fatigue, and the crippling aches. Those who have no fear of their legs suddenly deciding they've had enough. That they've carried the weight and burden for too long. What feels like a lifetime of lost time, guilt, regret, it plants them in your mind and waits for the seed to grow, while it sinks its claws into every aspect of your life. Friendships, potential relationships, education, future. It makes you question it all. And worse still, it whispers to you that no one could love a girl with so much baggage. Suitcase after suitcase filled with insecurity and self-hatred. Covered in stickers from every dark place you've ever been. Tokens of everything you've seen. Wishing they'd been dropped and lost at sea. It courses through your veins, poisoning blood and chipping away every bone. Until you feel nothing but it. The cruel companion bonded rigid to your skeleton, pulling you down like an anchor to the bottom of the darkest waters. Hoping that one day, you'll rise from its grip.
Box to Frankie. I have put in the box my freedom to change, my inability to conform, a length of golden hair gone but not lost. I have put in the box the confusion of a mirror, the sigh of reluctant acceptance, the twang of a misshouted name. I have put in the box the comforting squares of a rainbow flannel, pointed teeth and pointed ears, the mask that hides a gendered face. I have put in the box your name written out on paper, Polaroids full of euphoria, a blanket of names and a pillow of pronouns. The box is made from glass and mirrors, splattered with glowing paint, so it can change, just like you, with you. I won't surf through my box, along the old memories of once and past. Because the box is yours now, Frankie. A gift from the old me to you.
Some People by the Sheffield Children in Care Council. Some people know what it's like to be the odd child out, to be pitied even when your story is unknown. For others to assume you are unloved and not see all the different reasons you might be in care. Some people know what it's like to be told at school that you're moving to a new family that night, and for the last time you see all your siblings together, to be when you're split into different cars. Some know what it's like to not see the people they love, brothers, sisters, even pets, to have to get used to a new town, new school, new street, to wish for more than presents on your birthday. They know what it's like to not be able to answer when you get asked that question, to be expected to tell your story again and again to new workers, what it's like to have a rotation of grown-ups in your life. Some people know how it feels to want to get away from the strangers in your own home, or what it's like to be abandoned by family, or to long to be seen and heard, to find a place that you belong. They know what it's like to feel like a counter in a board game, never knowing where you'll land next. If you get a good family, you can move forward. If it's a bad one, it's like snakes and ladders, 2 steps on, 3 steps back. They know what it's like to play the game that explains the way your life is, the placement game. Roll the dice, change your name. The better the placement, the further you get, and you only win when you reach a safe and loving home. Some people know how it feels to be an inconvenience, to be sent to respite like a dog to a kennel while a new family go on holiday, to be forgotten, to be left out, to be left behind. Who feel like you never fit in, to never take home for granted. They know what it's like to be given new rules, and then more rules, and different rules, or the wrong rules for your age, and to have to get used to the rules to fit into a new place, to not have independence or a say, to not choose what goes on the menu, or to wonder if someone's in it for the money, and to want to be treated the same as the children already there, for opportunities to be equal, to not be singled out or be diverted off the path you're on, to not feel like someone else's job. Some people don't know what it's like to have their life written into a book in a certain language, because it's all so much to take in, to get muddled from workers and stories and new information, to know inconsistency and what it's like to start again and again. Or what it's like to have a teacher announce, your foster care is outside, in front of the class, or to listen to adults talk about you like you're not there, or to have a worker visit when you're having tea, keeping their shoes on like it's an office. Some people don't know that being in care can also be a way to get out of danger, a way of finding a better, healthy life and safety. They don't know about the love we find inside a different surname, the strangers who become family, who care for our needs and futures. Because family isn't about blood, and being in care isn't one thing or another. It's many things to different people. Some people know this, and some people don't.
Rain, even though I'm not bothered about you, I wish instead of water I could make it rain money. Instead of getting cold and drenched, I'd love to be counting lots of cash. To have the sun in the sky and the plants to be watered by an underground water system. We won't need umbrellas ever again. When it rains, sometimes I feel sad or depressed because I can't enjoy being outside so much. I think of all the better days we have without rain. I can see myself having the motivation to play football. That is, if I owned a football. And I could see myself making more outdoorsy videos for my YouTube channel, such as ones about water gun fights. I see myself being a much happier person without rain, and the clouds it brings that waste a perfect day. Rain, clouds, in my brain, everything good, buried under rain clouds, torrential rain. I really wish I could control rain, so I could have it rain only when I wanted. When would I like it to rain? Probably when I'm about to kiss someone.
Aftershock by Neve Brownhill. I often feel like my existence with someone doubles, but then all of a sudden disappears, as if the true me, the true feelings I was vocal with, had their tongue cut out and mind hypnotized into thinking that I never existed to them. I'm left with the aftershock, only the echo of what I remember saying, what I remember feeling.
I know that there's always a can in can't. I know I can't avoid people forever, even though I want to. I know that one day there'll eventually be no more room for new posters on my wall and that I'll have to replace some of them, but I'll keep buying them anyway. I know I can't avoid sunlight like a vampire, but still, I keep my curtains closed 24/7 anyway. I know that I can't suck up my tears forever and will have to let them fall eventually. I know that all the clothes I own are 99% black, but I like it like that.
Depression by Neve Brownhill. It's the unanswered texts and the long-awaited voicemails with questions from loved ones waiting for a response. It's the unwashed hair and unmade bed that continue to be unmade, unwashed, unloved, hour after hour, day after day. It's the suffocation of life, heavy on our shoulders and able to even look outside the window to watch the birds sing. It's what makes their singing a silence. It's the black shadow, forever by our side, even on a summer's day, even when we smile. Depression is the one we don't want as a friend. And although they are familiar in their way, they will stab you in the back when everything's okay. They're the ones that's not seen or heard, but are forced to hide behind. They're the broken mask, plastered together bit by bit. The shattered mirror on the floor, not wanting to face this part of us.
When I was a ladybird, it was really scary seeing real-life giants. I worried I'd get trodden on. I remember joining in on your sing-songs on Alexa. You, me and Justin Bieber singing One Time, You Make Me Happy. When I was a ladybird, I used to protect the house when nobody was around. I'd sit and hide from the humans I didn't know. You'd pick me up on your finger and put me on a tree, and I knew you were safe. I would wait for you on the windowsill. When I was a ladybird, I loved it when you were the happiest and you could see it. Getting dressed to go out, curling your lashes, I knew you were the kind of person I could tell all my secrets. I liked it best when you wore your Sheffield United top because it was red, like me. When I was a ladybird, I had no stress on me. I do wish I could be a ladybird with no stress.
One of me is writing again. Aged 13, thoughts that swirl and spin like a carousel in a fairground. Another me is aged 21, the 7th psychiatrist I've seen this year. The arrogance and noise. Age 23, gulp gulp down my throat. 3 quetiapines, 2 lamotrigines, it's pill after pill after pill. I hate the zombie who kicks in, and now tripping, drowsy and hungover the morning after. The rapid runs of bowel movements, a cave with no door, a dripping, leaky tap, ranges of prolactin in misery, now 3 times too high. My body is out of sync. What are these pills that I got told to swallow daily, week after week? That lie, muted down like a volume button, at least now too hollow and brainless to think. This emptiness, is it me or am I bored? As flat as a cracked chopping board from being overused. Another me is wearing the glitter, gold sari, and silver embroidered mirrors. And somewhere, there is a new person who drops her bright Indian clothes on the floor, which will lay in a pile for the rest of the year. She zips up her pencil leather skirt. She wears black stilettos that squash her toes, a crisp white blouse with freshly washed hair. Now she's ready to meet the courtroom in all its disaster and immorality. The trembling, worry beast will be a fear of the past, which will be gone like the wind knocking her down in January's blues. In fact, she will hardly think. Silence will be her best friend, a trial or a battle deep within. There's a me in the ever-turning world, who hopes that a time will come and live. Her friends, her smile, the seeds planted will grow and grow to always feed her internal hunger to always breathe. There is a me who hates the world in all its chaos, like a tornado ferociously destroying everything beyond its reach. There's a me who feels the light warm kiss of golden sunshine on my skin in July, the lime green grass sticking to the soles of my feet. There's a me who sits at home closing her eyes to count sheep after sheep after sheep.
Box to myself. My box is for myself. It's where all my desires and dreams come true. Money, mansions, the people I love. The box is made of happiness and the words of people I love and memories. It has a quotation on the lid that says, "The world is yours. It's at your feet."
You've been listening to the Youth Word Up 2020 podcast. I'm Dominic Heslop, the One Devotion, Red, Gold and Green, to the world. Peace.
The Youth Word Up is an off-the-shelf Festival of Words project. Thank you to all the amazing young people who took part this year. For more information, visit www.offtheshelf.org.uk.